the, is that on? Sorry. Is that on?
Yep.
The first reading is from John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I command you to love each other. And the second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He is the one who has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ Jesus? No. For he is the one who died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or are hungry or cold, or in danger or threatened with death? Even the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So much. I had the opportunity of recently speaking with someone who was raised in a Christian home but has been influenced by intellectual pursuits to abandon their faith in God. And they declared to me, I am an atheist. As our conversation continued, I asked him a question. Is there anything you miss about your early years of faith in the church? There was a moment of silence, and fighting back tears, he said, I miss the community. I miss belonging. As we gather for worship today, do we feel that we belong in this place? Do you remember the first time that you came to worship here? What were the circumstances that brought you here? How long did it take before you felt that you belonged? What allows us to feel like we belong? When I first moved to Stratford, I was thrilled to live in an active, vibrant, thriving community in southwestern Ontario, but I didn't feel that I belonged there. I lived there, but I didn't belong. When I tried to join community events, I would introduce myself and indicate that I had recently moved to the community. But I was given the impression that unless I was born and bred in Stratford, I would never really belong. I would be always seen as one of those newbies, or as some say in other parts of Canada, you're from away. So what allows one to feel that he or she belongs to God or belongs to a community of faith, Christ's body? You belong when you have value and worth, when you are more than just a number, or as some say, a body to fill a pew. When you belong to God, you will also be called to belong to the community of believers in Jesus Christ. When you belong to God, you will want to engage in the vision of what God wants for himself and for his church. I heard a preacher once talk about reasons why people attend church. He said some attend church because they view it as a gas station. They come to church for the music and the entertaining sermon, and as the week goes on and they run out of fuel, they run back to get filled up again. Some attend church in the same way as they attend a movie theater. They ask, what will the minister be speaking about? What music will be performed? And when the service is over, like movie critics, they critique every aspect of what went on in worship. They see their role as a church critic rather than as one engaged in the mission and vision of the body of Christ, the community of God's people. A humorous story is told of a person who was shipwrecked and found himself on a desert island. Years passed, and one day, a ship landed near the shore, and a small contingent of people found their way to the island and discovered the man. They asked if he could show them around the island. As they roamed the island, they discovered that the man had created and constructed three huts. Curious about this, they asked the man what the huts were for. The man responded, well, the first hut is my home, and the second hut is my church, where I worship God. And the people asked, the third hut? What is it for? Oh, the man replied, that is the church I used to attend. Some people attend church because it is like a drugstore to them, where they find the therapy they need. As long as the minister says exactly what they need and no pressure is put on them to have any anxiety by the session or anyone else in the church, heaven forbid if I'm asked to teach vacation Bible school, they attend. But when they're challenged to dig in deep, challenged to examine their faith, to engage with others that are not like them, they stop attending. Finally, some people attend church in the same way they shop at a retail store like Walmart or Home Depot. It's all about finding the best bargain at a very low price. A boy was given $5 by his parents as he dashed off to the local church for the first time to attend the Christian education program. When he arrived home, he had three chocolate bars in his hand. Where did you get those chocolate bars? His mother asked. I bought them at the corner store on my way home. When I arrived at church, I met the minister, and she told me I could come in for free. There are people who attend church because they want this or they want that at the best price possible. So what allows one to feel that she or he belongs to God, belongs to the community of faith, Christ's body? One belongs when he or she feels that they have value and worth in Christ, and are then called to engage in the vision and in the mission of that faith community. Do you feel that you have value and worth as a follower of Jesus Christ? Hear the words again that were read to us from John 15. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I heard about my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Jesus has chosen you. You are of infinite worth and value to him. You belong to him. You are a child of the King. Next week, your congregation will be engaging in a unique opportunity to share the message of love with children from junior kindergarten to grade 6. Some children you will know, but many others will be unknown to you. You will have a wonderful possibility of helping each child to feel that they belong to Christ, that they matter to God, that they are of infinite value and worth. Karl Barth, a German theologian who dominated the theology of the 20th century, visited the U.S. in 1962, shortly before his death. It was his only visit outside of his country. One night, he was lecturing at a seminary in Virginia. And after the lecture, he met with students at a coffee shop for some informal dialogue. Someone asked him if there was any way he could summarize his vast theological findings. A student asked, "What in your judgment is the essence of a Christian faith?" Barth paused for a moment. No doubt the others waited for some profound insight from this theological giant. They got out their pens and paper and were poised. Then Bard answered, "Yes, I can summarize in a few words my understanding of the Christian faith. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Needless to say, these students were dumbfounded. They had expected some deep theological statement, and instead what they heard was what Barth had learned from his mother's knee. I believe Barth was right. At the heart of the Christian gospel is the simple affirmation, Jesus loves me. And it is this love that every child attending Vacation Bible School next week will need to hear and receive. But what else is Jesus saying here? Are we chosen to live life beyond Christ, belonging to Christ, but all alone, apart from others? Are we to be that Renaissance woman or man in the world who is clever and skilled at doing many things and therefore can survive alone? If we believe in Christ, can we do it alone? Jesus goes on to say, "And I am appointing you to go and bear fruit so that you can love one another." We are meant to belong to his body, the community of faithful disciples. As many of you are aware, the Special Olympics is a unique organization. The story is told of a group of 9 youth that came to their starting places at the 100-yard dash. As the blast of the starting gun sounded, all 9 runners raced down the track. But one of the group stumbled and fell. Instead of leaving their competitor on the ground, all 8 runners stopped and ran back to the fallen runner. One of the girls with Down syndrome leaned over and kissed the hurt leg of the runner and said, "I hope this will make you feel better." Then together they helped the runner to his feet, and together they all crossed the finish line. The stadium broke into enthusiastic applause. Why? Because for a very brief moment, this large crowd grasped something, that at the end of the day, there is more to life than one individual win. Belonging to God means also belonging to a community of believers. Belonging means that you are valued and of worth. Like a vital organ in a living body, you as a follower of Jesus Christ are indispensable, an interconnected part of the body of Christ, his church. How many of you have ever visited the Redwood Forest? How many have ever seen the big, tall sequoia trees that compose those massive forests? Do you know that a redwood tree has an extremely shallow root? It's shallower than most trees on earth. How is it possible for them to withstand storms and winds and growth when they're top heavy? How? They're all interconnected by the roots. They form a mesh, just like we did with the web, of strong and secure, each one holding up the other. And in fact, where one redwood is planted near water, it's able to give the water and the nutrients that are needed to a redwood that stands in an arid area. It constantly is sharing back and forth through this mass of underground roots. The church here in this place is a vibrant living body, not merely a building. This church is a living organism, not an organization, because it is composed of vital organs, valuable and worthy people who are called to belong, not because they are made up of people with common characteristics, a common socioeconomic place in society, a common cultural background, a common educational background, a common interest in political ideology or philosophy. We are not called to say to newcomers, become like us and join the church. As Peter Bush, our newly elected moderator of the denomination, wrote in the Presbyterian Connection recently, the multi-ethnic, multicultural church, which I believe we are called to be, is not held together by common backgrounds of its members. In our collective desire to make Jesus the center of the church, we find our unity, which transcends language, culture, and ethnicity. In our collective desire to make Jesus the center of the church, we find our unity, which transcends language, culture, and ethnicity. To newcomers, we say, center your life on Jesus and come and worship. Come and engage. Come and love and be loved. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me end with this story. It is said that during the Second World War, some soldiers serving in France wanted to bury a friend and fellow soldier who had been killed. Being in a foreign country, they wanted to ensure that their fallen comrade had a proper burial. They found a well-kept cemetery with a low stone wall around it, a picturesque little Catholic church in a peaceful outlook. This was just the place to bury their friend. But when they approached the priest, he answered that unless their friend was a baptized Catholic, he could not be buried in the cemetery. The fallen friend was not a Catholic. Sensing the soldier's disappointment, the priest showed them a spot outside the walls where they could bury their friend, and reluctantly they did so. The next day, the soldiers returned to pay their final respects to their fallen friend. But they could not find the grave. Surely you can't be mistaken. It was right here, they said to one another. Confused, they approached the priest, who took them to a spot inside the cemetery walls. Last night I couldn't sleep, said the priest. I was troubled that your friend had to be buried outside the cemetery walls, so I got up and moved the wall. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. When have you experienced the joy of belonging? When have you felt that you were of value and worth as a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you feel that you have value and worth as part of Christ's body? Do you belong to Christ? Do you belong here in this place? Do I belong here in this place? Are we being called to belong together as the body of Christ here at Knox Harrington?